Thank you, ladies. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. They're going to start there tonight, just one verse. Find that. I got handout number 6 for you. As soon as the special is through, the men will be back, and we'll be able to get that out. So 1 Peter chapter 4, and then we'll be over in 1 Corinthians. But we'll start in 1 Peter 4 and move ahead and be in the lesson tonight. All right, you listen, and Faith has the special tonight. Faith bless. Ushers, if you'll help us, please get these handouts to the folk. If you'd like one, raise your hand. We're in 1 Peter chapter 4 tonight. This is a lesson that was probably less practical and more informational than some of the other lessons have been on this subject of spiritual gifts. But I want to deal tonight with this, and won't spend more than tonight on this. But then moving ahead, we're going to be looking at something in particular, and with the book of 1 Corinthians and so forth. So we'll get into that in the future. So if you'd like a handout, I'm sorry? Joe, you all right tonight? You've been hollering out quite a bit, man. Okay. All right. This whole section over here needs some help. All right. All y'all didn't get any. Are you out, Brent? Okay. Okay. Just need some more over there, Brother Irvin. So thank you. Thank you very much. Let us have prayer. Father, we're thankful tonight for this good group that's here. I pray that you'll please help these that are sick. Lord, I know there's this respiratory and sickness going around. Please touch, help, and bless these that are sick. Father, thank you for the ones that are here. Speak to our hearts tonight. May we learn what the Word of God has to say about this matter. And, Lord, where so many today are off course on this particular subject, help us to be biblical and right, and help me to present it correctly. Lead, guide, and direct, I pray. Well, thank you in Christ's name. And amen. What I want you to see in 1 Peter chapter 4 is this. We went through the seven gifts mentioned in Romans chapter 12 over the last couple of weeks. And there's some repetition in 1 Corinthians 12 where we'll be in just a minute. But I want to make one more point about the seven gifts that we studied in Romans 12 the last couple of weeks. Look with me at verse number 10. As every man hath received the gift. We looked at these verses previously, but as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Folks, it is God's grace that gifts people with spiritual gifts, and we're to use them for the benefit. The profit is the word found in the book of Romans for the local church, okay? Now look at verse number 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The spiritual gifts that we've studied already, these seven mentioned in Romans chapter 12, are really divided into two main groups, and you see them here in verse number 11. They are speaking gifts and serving gifts. Speaking gifts and serving gifts. You see the speaking gifts mentioned in the first part of chapter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. That would include the gift of prophecy. That would include the gift of teaching, okay, and so forth. And then the next phrase says, if any man minister, there's your serving gifts. Let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. And you remember that the first two gifts mentioned in Romans chapter 12 were prophecy and ministry. Prophecy not being the foretelling of truth as much as the forthtelling of truth, explaining and proclaiming the Word of God, okay? So that's the first gift mentioned. The second gift mentioned is ministry, which is service. So these seven gifts are kind of broken down into two categories, the speaking gifts and the serving gifts. Now, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So let's turn over there tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to be talking about some other type gifts that are mentioned here in this chapter. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And if you find that, we're going to learn here of temporary gifts that we call sign gifts. Temporary gifts, number two on your sheet, that we call sign gifts. So there were speaking gifts that are still operable today. There are serving gifts that are still operable today. Now, 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to learn about sign gifts, and we'll learn later on that these gifts are inoperable today. They were for a specific time and for a specific reason. All right, now, look with me beginning, in verse number 8. Notice in verse number 8, for to one, Paul says, is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Now, I'll be completely transparent with you. This is a little bit of a difficult verse for me, and maybe somebody could enlighten me. But I read some people on this, and there's kind of a, you know, some people believe that this is just wisdom and knowledge, and other people believe that this is more than just wisdom and knowledge. I fall in that category. Now, I could be wrong, okay? Obviously, wisdom and knowledge would be very useful for those who preach and teach, all right, in today's world, in today's ministry. But I believe this is more than just the common wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge are very helpful, as I said, speaking by way of preaching or teaching, and they are different. Knowledge is the mental understanding of truth. Wisdom is the ability to apply that truth to life. Knowledge is understanding what a tool does. Wisdom is knowing how to use that tool properly. Okay? I mean, about everybody you know, if you talk to, they all know what a hammer does. But there are a lot of people who have the knowledge of what a hammer does who have very little wisdom about how to use it. Okay? You're looking at one. All right? Amen? I can tear down, but I can't build up. So knowledge is knowledge is just a mental understanding of what a tool does. Wisdom is knowing how to use the tool. Knowledge of the Bible is a great thing. Understanding, gaining knowledge, that's very, very important. But putting that knowledge to work is called wisdom. Okay, so it's very helpful in today's ministry. But I think this is a tad bit different. I can be corrected on this. I could be wrong on what I'm going to say. But if you look at it, I think it's interesting that Paul said, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge." To one the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge. Okay, so here you got two different things here, wisdom and knowledge. Both times Paul uses the word, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. Now, folks, remember that when this is being written to this church in Corinth, okay, the revelation of Scripture was not yet completed at this time. The Word of God was still being revealed from heaven to man, to earth, in spoken and written form. So when this was penned by the Apostle Paul to this church in A.D. 58 or 59, there were still men, number four on your sheet, who were speaking and writing Scripture. They were speaking and writing Scripture. And I think this is a reference to that. This is a reference that God gifted these men with the ability to have this word of wisdom, this word of knowledge. It was the revelation of Scripture. It was more than just common wisdom and common knowledge, okay? And I just think, wisdom and knowledge are not gifts. Anybody can acquire wisdom and knowledge, okay? You put your heart to it, you put your soul in it, you put some prayer to it, you put some study of the Bible, you can acquire some knowledge. You can acquire some wisdom. This is a word of wisdom. This is a word of knowledge. It seems to be a little bit different than just what you and I might call common wisdom, common knowledge, okay? So the Word of God, still being revealed from earth, from heaven to earth, there's still men who are speaking and writing Scripture. And I believe this is a reference to that, okay? And because of the whole context here. Look at verse 9 and 10. He goes on to another faith by the same Spirit. I'll come back to that in a minute. To another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another divers kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. So these, all of these, what we call sign gifts, are mentioned here. And God gave these gifts to confirm or verify that this word of wisdom, this word of knowledge, were credible as being from God. Okay? So God gave these special sign gifts, the healings, the miracles, the tongues, the interpretation of tongues, all of these things, as gifts to men, as signs to confirm what men were saying that was in essence the Word of God. Okay? Now, these gifts were operable for a specific period of time, and they were used as signs. And again, the signs were necessary when the Word of God was incomplete as far as its revelation is concerned. Now, I think most of you have heard this, you know this, number 6. God's Word was revealed to man in written form over a period of about 1,600 years, plus or minus, okay? Plus or minus, okay, a little bit. So, God's Word's revealed to man, and at this point in time, 59 A.D., it's still being revealed. A lot or several of the epistles were written in 64 A.D., 66 A.D. Some of the pastoral letters to Titus and Timothy were written about that time period. So God's Word is still being revealed from heaven to earth to mankind. Men with the gift of the Word of wisdom and the Word of knowledge are speaking and writing the Word of God. And God gives these sign gifts as confirmation or verification that what they were saying was indeed of God. Okay, now look, folks, the sign gifts were used to confirm the credibility of what was being spoken as thus saith the Lord. That's what these sign gifts were given for. When I preach Sunday morning and Sunday night, Wednesday night, or teach, I make statements like, look at what God said to us. We are in a book, we are in a chapter, and we are in a verse, and we all, with our open Bibles, look at what God said. Now, if we had no Bible, and I said to you, this is what God said, how in the world would anybody know it was really what God had said? And that's what the apostles were facing in first century Christianity. They're going out with a message, okay? And some of their some of their message, some of their words are the actual words of Scripture. Words of Scripture that we have recorded here in the New Testament. And so God gave these gifts to people to verify or give credibility to what they were preaching, that it was indeed the Word of God. Now, Jewish, and we're going to get into this a little bit more when we get to chapter 14, okay? But let me just give you some instances tonight, okay? Turn back to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4 in your Bible, and we'll begin there. Now, let me say while you're finding that the first mention of the word sign or signs is found in the book of Genesis. It's amazing, friend, how much is found in those first two or three chapters of the book of Genesis, okay? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, the Bible says God created the sun, moon, and stars and said they would be for signs to the inhabitants of the earth. That's number 8 on your paper there. God created the sun, moon, and stars, and He said they would be for signs to the inhabitants of the earth. And for number 9, He said that they would be for seasons, days, and years. And this is how it's been from the beginning of time as we know it. You know, people have told, you know, we tell days by the sun, okay? Seasons by the sun, moon, and stars, all right? And so this was the first time that the word sign was used. But now in Exodus chapter 4, we have something entirely different. Something entirely different. Look with me beginning in verse number 1. Now, you know what's happened in chapter 3. Moses went to the burning bush, and God said, I'm going to send you down to Egypt to deliver my people. Look at verse 1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Moses was going down into Egypt with a message from God. Hey, folks, God said this. And they're going to say, how do we know? How do we know God said this? So Moses saw this coming. He's a pretty sharp cookie, okay? He saw this problem coming. So look what the Bible says. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. He had a shepherd's rod with him. Verse 3, and he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. So he threw this shepherd's rod, this innate shepherd's rod, no life to it whatsoever. He threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And it was a living serpent. So how do you know that? Look at the next phrase. And Moses fled from before it. Smart man. Okay? The only good kind of snake nowadays is a dead snake. Amen. Look at verse 4. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. Now that's interesting, folks, because if you ever caught a snake, you never catch a snake by its tail. I haven't messed with snakes for years, but we used to catch them down in Georgia. And you catch them behind the head. Okay? Because if you don't, like John Gardner found out one time playing with a snake over in the gym, it'll bite you. they were having a sports marathon. And John, in the old gym, John found a snake. John was always good at finding fire and snakes, amen, and rodents, reptiles. And so he found this snake, and he's playing with it. I said, John, that snake's going to bite you. Oh, that person, sure enough, bit him right on the hand. And you get a snake by the head, behind the head. And so God tells Moses to pick this snake up by the tail. I never forget Curtis Hudson preaching about this. And he's saying, you know, Moses told the Lord in chapter 3, he said, I can't go down to Egypt because I stutter. I can't go down there and to tell those people because I stutter. And Curtis Hudson said, when God told Moses to pick that snake up by the tail, Moses said, Lord, I have a hard time talking. I'm having a harder time hearing now. Amen. So that's what he used to say. Pick that snake up by the tail. But anyway, he did. Look at verse 5. Oh, no, verse 4. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. So, folks, he throws this rod on the ground, it turns into a snake. God tells him to pick it up by the tail. He does, and it turns into a rod. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. Put his hand into his bosom. When he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. He said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. He put his hand into his bosom again, plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. Now look at verse 8, and it shall come to pass. If they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. He said, you're going to go down there, and you're going to say, this is what God said. And when they say to you, how do we know God said it? You're going to throw the rod on the ground. It's going to turn into a snake. You're going to pick it up again. It's going to turn back into a rod. If you need to, you'll have to stick your hand in your bosom, put it out. It's going to be leprous. Pull it back in. It's going to be healed. And if they don't believe you with the first sign, they'll believe you with the second sign. So he gave Moses these. This is, folks, that's not normal. You don't normally throw shepherd's crooks on the ground, turn into snakes. All right? You don't usually pick snakes up and they turn into a shepherd's crook. You don't usually put your hand in your bosom, pull it out leprous, and put it back, and it's healed. You don't do that. These were signs to the Jewish people down in Egypt that God indeed had sent. Well, anybody could walk into the group of Israelites down there and say, God sent me to deliver you. Well, how do we know it's you? How do we know it's God? Okay? And they're already in a bad way down there. And so this is what God gave Moses. He gave Moses the gifts, the sign, these gifts, this miracle. It's a miracle to throw a shepherd's crook down and it turns into a snake. It's a miracle to put your hand in your bosom, pull it out, put it back, and it's healed. It's a miracle. God gave him this as a sign, okay, to the people of God. Now, turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, and look with me at verse number 14. Mark chapter 16 and verse number 14. So we're in the New Testament now, and this went on down through time. Men had different signs that God gave them to verify, confirm that they were preaching what God said. Thus saith the Lord. Now look at Mark chapter 16. Look with me at beginning at verse 14. Afterward, this is after the resurrection, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which he had seen him after he was risen. They didn't believe with the testimony of these people that had seen him. So the Lord's unhappy with them, but he says in verse 15, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. People use that to prove that baptism is necessary for salvation. But folks, if baptism was never, he that believeth not and is not, it's not he that believeth not and is baptized not shall be damned. He that believeth not shall be damned. It's not the baptizing, it's the believing. Okay? Verse 17. So go tell the message. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So God said, you're going to go out with people to Christ. And they're going to go out, and they're going to preach, and they're going to take the gospel message. And as you go and as they go, I am giving the signs. So number 11, God gave the apostles the ability to work miracles, to speak in tongues, to cast out devils, to heal the sick, and even to take up deadly snakes without any kind of harm. Now you go down south and you get up into those places called the Hollers, and you're going to find there's still a crowd today that believes that they can handle snakes, and they handle rattlesnakes. It's awful. I told you that one time I was out visiting with Tony Keelan in the hills of Tennessee, and it was a slow night, and we weren't having much success, and we came around almost like a 90-degree turn in the road, way up in the hills, and a little white clapboard church there, and it had a big little sign outside, revival meeting, special meetings. And so Tony said, let's stop, and we did. And we went inside, sat in the back row, little bitty, wasn't even as big as these two sections right here, folks. I mean, a little bitty hill, mountain church. And they had the people up there playing the guitars and the banjo, and they were singing. and they had a box sitting down there. I didn't think much about it at the beginning. And they were playing and everything. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting back there, and Tony and I listened to the music. And all of a sudden, that music ratcheted up to a new level. And I mean to tell you, that old boy playing the guitar, he went stiff as a board. His eyeballs bugged out like this. And I mean stiff like that. And boy, they started going for that box. And Tony said, we're out of here. Boom. So we hit the road, man. We hit the road fast. And I never saw him take a snake out of there, but I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure that's what was in that box. They're snake handlers. And guess what? When they get bit, they die. Do you know anybody in the New Testament that picked up a deadly snake, was bitten by it, and survived? The Apostle Paul. He was the apostle born out of. Yeah. I'm having trouble with my voice tonight. I'm sorry. New time. These were gifts given to these preachers who went out, many of them, preaching the gospel, others of them actually speaking the words of God. Paul spoke how much of the words of God did Paul give, speak or write? Okay? So they've got these sign gifts. And these things, and look at the end of verse number, look at verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere. Now watch this. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. So the important thing was not the signs. The important thing was the word of God. And it's so important. I'm going to give these men these miraculous signs so that you'll have enough sense to believe what they're saying is from me. That's what God did this. All right? So there's sign gifts. He gave these apostles these two tremendous abilities, okay? Now, the sign gifts, number 13, were operable in the book of Acts as the gospel message was going throughout the known world, okay? It was bursting forth from Jerusalem. And I'm not going to have you turn to all these, but listen, just pay attention closely here, okay? Acts 2, day of Pentecost, sign gifts. They're speaking in tongues, languages, all right? We'll talk about that. Acts 2. Acts 3, the gate beautiful. The man lame is laying there, and Peter heals him. He's walking now. Acts 5, Ananias and Sapphira lie about their offering, and Peter discerns it, discerning of spirits, and God kills Ananias and Sapphira. In the same chapter, you've got the shadow of Peter overshadowing. They brought sick people in so that the shadow of Peter passing over them would heal them. In Acts 6, you've got Stephen working wonders and miracles. In Acts 8, you've got Philip in Samaria, miracles and healings. In Acts 10, you've got tongues in Cornelius' conversion. In Acts 14, Paul heals at Lystra. In chapter 15, Paul and Barnabas testify about the wonders and the healings. In Acts 16, Paul works a miracle. Now watch this. In Acts 19, you've got tongues and miracles. That's about A.D. 56. And then they're not mentioned again until the very last chapter in the book of Acts, where you read about miracles and healings in A.D. 63. So you've got all this preponderance of these sign gifts up to about 56 A.D., and then, folks, it begins to shut down. It begins to slow way down. There is an obvious reduction in the number of times those gifts. And look, in fact, here's what you need. If you take out the book of 1 Corinthians, all right? Healings, miracles, tongues, etc. So you go to Acts and you stop there. And then you take out 1 Corinthians. Okay? So now we got Romans, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians. You get the picture. Okay? Philippians, Colossians, on down through here. So you take out 1 Corinthians. Healings, miracles, and tongues are only mentioned four times in the rest of the New Testament. Until you get to Revelation. Then you read about them again in the tribulation time. It's mentioned in Romans. It's mentioned in Galatians. It's mentioned in Hebrews. And one other place, it's only mentioned four times. And a lot of those books were written in 64, 65, 66, 68 A.D. Now listen, you get to 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, written in the last decade of the first century, they're not mentioned. You can't find them there. And you got first, you got John. I mean, there's nobody more in the loop than John. Okay? But he's not, they're never mentioned in 1 John, 2 John, or 3 John. They began to read this. Look at Hebrews. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 2, okay? Hebrews chapter 2. And look with me a couple of verses here. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. It's very interesting what the writer of the Hebrews says. And this is one of the places it's mentioned. Verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? So he's talking about the earthly ministry of Jesus, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. Okay, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. See, these sign gifts were not permanent. That's number 14. They were not permanent. They were temporary until the canon of the Word of God was complete. Now, I know this is elementary for many of you, but there probably are some here tonight who maybe haven't been exposed to this. And here's the reason why I take the time on a Wednesday night. This is more informational than practical. We lost some great people here years ago because they got to listening to somebody that told, that spoke and taught that the sign gifts were still operable. And there was nobody here speaking in tongues, and there was no healings in our services, and they left here and went to other places that have those type things in their services. And I sat down and tried, I went through this thing with them, not as much detail as I have with you tonight. I'm sorry, this voice thing coming and going. But this is a problem because let's just face it, the charismatics have taken those gifts, these sign gifts, and they have used them to create a phenomenon that does not exist. Their interpretation of a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge is that a person can stand in a service and speak as the revelation of God. In other words, they use phrases like, I have a word from the Lord for you. Meaning that God has given me something right from Him that nobody else has access to. Folks, that doesn't happen. God doesn't give me something. Let me tell you, a lot of preachers have gotten themselves into trouble because they've gone looking for things that God gave only them and nobody else. And that you won't find. What God gave to us, He gave to everybody in this book right here. This can be understood by anybody who works hard enough to do it. Okay? And I had a fellow that I roomed with in Bible college who just spiraled out of control and bit the dust, and so much of it was his pursuit of this new stuff that he was enabled by God to know that nobody else knew. There is no such thing. None. There's nothing I can know that anybody else in this room can't know. Okay? And this is what they're saying. They take this, and so this guy stands up in a service and says, I have a word from the Lord for you. And it's divine revelation. God has spoken to them and revealed something to them that nobody else could have naturally known. And it's a form of divine revelation, revealing God's word to individuals or congregations. Listen, the last little thing, last number 15 on your sheet here, there is no new revelation. There is none. It's over. The revelation of God's word is complete. It's no longer necessary that God's word be revealed from heaven to earth. That revelation was closed in the late in the last decade of the first century when John put the period to the end of Revelation 22-21, God's revelation was complete. It was done. And what God's people can know, everybody can know. I got weary of, you know, the stuff that was being said. I mean, and I separated in friendship from this brother because, and that's where some people just never get it, folks. Sometimes you've got to be loyal to truth over friendship. But you're standing up and preaching to congregations of people talking about Joseph turning, how did Joseph feel when he turned Jesus over his knee? Where'd that come from? Like Jesus needed a spanking? You've got to be kidding me. Spankings are given because of what? Just because parents love to wail away on their kids, right? That's what you guys think. No. Spankings are given for disobedience. I'm sorry, I don't have any Bible to back this up, but just what we're taught about Jesus Christ, I don't think Joseph ever turned him over his knee. Maybe Jesus turned Joseph over his knee. Don't you kids try that. As you know, Eve was the first spokesperson for God in the Bible. That's what God's original plan was, for Eve to be the spokesman for the family. What? And all of this in the context of God has given me something, and it's the idea that you don't know what God has revealed to me. That's poppycock. It's trash. Not so. Can't happen. Okay? Get yourself in big trouble. What God has revealed to me, He has revealed to you. What God's revealed to you, He's revealed to every other Christian. Try here in this book. It's not revelation, it's illumination. It's studying and praying and putting it to practice and asking God, help me to know your word, okay? So these charismatics, it would be like somebody standing up in this room tonight and saying, you know, I have a word from the Lord for you. And okay, and when this guy speaks, it's Bible. And so whatever he says we're supposed to do, we have to do because it's Bible. It's God's word. That doesn't happen. That's why we say, bring your Bible to church, and when I open this book up and say, turn to this book, this chapter, and this verse, and begin to preach and lay some things out, if I can't back it up with something that's written in this book right here, folks, we have it. This is it. It's done. So the sign gifts, let's go to let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12 real quickly here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And look with me at verse number 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 9. And I'm going to just make an admission here to you that, again, I'm a little stumped by this, okay? So it says in verse 8, to another, to one the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge. And I think that's more than just common knowledge and common wisdom, okay? Now look at verse number 9, to another faith by the same Spirit. Now, I'm looking at this context. I'm thinking all of these gifts right here are sign gifts having to do with the continued revelation of God's Word. I'm a little stumped by the gift of faith being mentioned in this passage. But my lack of understanding, that, you know, does not mean that that God's unclear. It's my fault. I'm just not there, okay? I wish I could explain it to you, but I can't. Now, what I can explain to you is in the next chapter. Look at 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 8. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 8. He's talking about charity, love in action. Okay, charity never, by the way, folks, be very careful. I know we all do it, but be very careful about substituting the word love for charity. It's different. Charity is love in action. Okay, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. What does that mean? I mean they're not true? They'll fail to... No. This is in the sense of foretelling. The sense of foretelling. We won't need foretelling anymore. We got it all right here. Okay? Then it says, that'll stop. Let's keep going. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. And they did. Before the first century ever ended. Tongues were gone. Let's go on. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. That's why I think this word of knowledge and the knowledge talked about here is not knowledge like you and I would get from studying and learning the Bible. It's the knowledge of speaking in divine revelation. don't know if I'm making sense to you or not. I think I understand it. Maybe I don't. So that's going to go away. It'll vanish away. Now look, does God still heal? Yes, sir. Does God still work miracles? Yes, He does. Does God give those gifts to people to perform today? No. That's over. Because when I stand up and say, "Thus saith the Lord," I can show you chapter, book, verse. Okay? I don't need that. And I think it's just a disservice. It's sad that so many people have been caught up in this. And it's huge. Okay? We've got the completed book of God. We need nothing more. We need nothing less than this book we've got right here. Now, God still works miracles. God still heals people. We've seen God heal people. Glenda Payne experienced, I believe, a divine healing of God with that hole in her heart some years ago. Divine. It was there and it was gone. How do you explain that? Teresa, your grandmother, Bessie. A divine healing of God. But he did not use a handkerchief that somebody blew their nose on. Okay? He didn't do that. He didn't use, that's over. That's done. We don't need that anymore. So this section, I believe, this is me, okay? I believe this section in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10 here, is specifically talking about the sign gifts. And there's a reason for it. We'll get into this later on. It's talking about the sign gifts that were involved in the continued revelation of God's Word to man. And as soon as that revelation was ended, those gifts were no longer necessary. Put them away. They're done. Okay? Because we have the completed canon of Scripture right here. I hope all that made sense to you. I'm a little bit tired in the mind tonight. Sometimes when I'm tired in the mind, I'm thinking to myself, I don't know how this is sounding, okay? So, I didn't see too many people going. But we don't have, and by the way, that family that left is my, they are my friends today. They have revisited our church here since they left. And when I run into them in the stores, because she was saved here. She was saved here that years ago. I run into them in the stores. They are as friendly can be, but they just got off track. And by the way, I don't think they didn't stay at that church very long. They went somewhere else. So but this was what it was about. There's never any tongues. There's never any healings. And they were under the impression that those things were still necessary. They were still useful if the ministry of the Holy Spirit was really on a church. And that's not needed anymore. All right, let's stand. That's it for tonight. Thank you for being here on this kind of a windy, blustery night. Father, thank you for your completed book. And Lord, I wish I could speak with the tongue of men and of angels and the clarity of being clear on this, as clear as a bell. I hope I didn't muddy the water tonight. I sure didn't mean to. But I thank you for your completed book. And I pray, Lord, that rather than looking for somebody speaking in some unknown gibberish or seeing somebody healed, that we would give full throttle attention to what's written in this book right here. Learn it and love it and live it. And Lord, just help us to grow. Well, thank you for your completed book in Christ's name. Ladies, just stay with us.